Hello and welcome to National League Town, Mets fandom, Mets history, Mets life, with Long Island's own Greg Prince and Jeff Eisen. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jeff.
On today's show, we talk about expansion.
Expansion. We're expanding our horizons. In 2004, once everybody in Montreal knew the Expos were about to leave the city they'd call home for 36 seasons, they held a pre-game ceremony in Olympic Stadium to honor the 1994 team everybody in Quebec was convinced was robbed of a World Series title by the strike that wiped out its dream season, a team whose unfinished symphony struck the decade-long death knell for baseball in Montreal. If only the 1994 Expos had won their World Series and gotten their new ballpark, the local thinking went, things never would have grown so bleak that the Montreal Expos would become the Washington Nationals. How strange, I thought at the time, that they were affixing a placard to the wall just as the stadium is closing for baseball purposes. I bring this up because of another juxtaposition that struck me as a little dissonant several months ago. We've celebrated the Mets having retired number 24 for Willie Mays quite a bit on this show, and we still celebrate it. A couple of lines from Howie Rose's emceeing of that joyous occasion, however, hit me in a way I'm sure Howie didn't intend when I listened to them again after I got home from Citi Field after Old Timers Day. To quote Howie, Willie Mays, like the Mets, began his Major League Baseball journey in New York at the famous Polo Grounds in Upper Manhattan. The connection to National League Baseball in this town runs deep. It runs through Willie and courses through the veins of Mets fans. It's a beautiful sentiment and accurate when it comes to explaining Mays and 24 and New York and the Mets. It's catnip for Mets fans of a certain vintage and mindset. It's more than catnip. It's Metnip. It's the idea behind the enterprise we call National League Town. And yet, just 3 days before Howie spoke those lines, this paragraph appeared on MLB.com, written by reporter Anthony Castrovince, in an article synced to the release of the 2023 schedule. No longer is each team's slate significantly skewed toward division opponents. Instead, the schedules will feature more variety. For the first time in modern MLB history, every team will play every other team at some point. And we've certainly discussed the upcoming schedule on this show. Well, if that's how Major League Baseball intends to roll, with less and less interest in distinguishing National League towns and teams from their American League counterparts, it's fair to wonder how deep the connection to National League Baseball in this town actually runs, not through any fault of the history we cherish, but by the future that's consciously putting that sort of distinction behind it. In an age when it's apparent that nothing is sacred or lasts forever, we thought this might be a good time to talk about two emblems of what are often thought of as progress in baseball's past, expansion and relocation, and try to place them in a modern context. The Mets exist first because of relocation, National League Baseball severing its ties with New York in 1957, and then expansion, the birth of the Mets to replace the departed Giants and Dodgers. Both of those flashpoints, in their own way, marked progress on at least some scorecards. Relocation of franchises had been in fashion quite a bit in the 1950s, and it wouldn't go out of style in baseball terms until the early 1970s. Expansion would be repeated in a few spasms from the 1960s to the 1990s, though not in the long time since. Suddenly, it's been 25 years since a new team came along, and come to think of it, it's been 18 years since a team changed its address. And that was the only time that had happened in the past half century. So we're going to get into the ideas and possibilities inherent in expansion and relocation, perhaps more conceptually than concretely. We only know what we've read and what's been said. The discussion will necessarily be a little blue sky, perhaps a little dystopian, hopefully thought-provoking. And don't worry, we'll have a meta angle to this before we're through. Just a quick statistical recitation to get us going. The population of the United States has grown by more than 20% in the last 25 years, and the world has maybe a third more people than it did in 1998 when last MLB expanded. The World Baseball Classic has come along in this interval, indicating baseball is thriving, or at least active in many places around the globe. Yet we're sitting here with 30 teams just like we did before the turn of the current century, a century that isn't particularly new any longer. MLB, when you include its minor league affiliates, employs somewhere between 5,500 and 6,000 professional baseball players, in a world of more than 8 billion people. You're going to tell me we can't find a few more live arms out there and teach them the strike zone? Let's talk about expansion, maybe in broad terms to get us going. Jeff, why does or doesn't Major League Baseball need to expand?
Manfred will come up with altruistic reasons, and those won't be the real reasons. He'll talk about bringing the game to new communities and creating new fans and a new generation in communities that have been underserved. Those aren't the real reasons. And it always comes down to money. The Seattle Kraken paid an entrance fee to the NHL of $650 million. When Arizona and Tampa joined MLB in 1998, as you said, the most recent expansion teams, they paid $130 million. And here's the reason. In 2021, Manfred said that the expansion fees would be $2.2 billion. That money is shared among all the teams equally, whether it's the inactive owners, such as Arizona and Pittsburgh, or the active owners, such as we have with the Mets and in Los Angeles, et cetera. They share that money evenly. Plus, new teams means new merch, and all of the merch money is shared equally. Expansion teams means more revenue. So as always, it comes down to money. That's why MLB will expand.
That's why MLB will expand. But in your mind, you're a fan. You're not making money off of this. Should they expand?
No, they should retract. Get rid of Washington.
Okay.
How about that? Can we do anything about that?
If the NFL can have a 17-game schedule, I guess MLB can have a 29-team league, and maybe the Mets can play a B-squad some days. It has been 25 years. It feels lonely. It feels stagnant after a while, I think. I am the romantic, perhaps, thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great to grow the game? Let's pretend that we're all altruists here. Let's say that beyond the expansion fees, which I'm pretty sure has 30 sets of owners, even our own beloved tycoon Steve Cohen, rubbing their hands together in anticipation. We've heard the lip service. You've mentioned it. We've heard cities that don't have teams make their case directly or subtly, and we can all do math. We all know that 15 teams in each league is a little unwieldy, at least from what we're used to. Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, has mentioned 32 or two more than we have today. If you were expanding, if you were putting aside your cynicism and not getting rid of Washington necessarily as a major league city, if you are tasked with joining the expansion committee, by how many teams can you see MLB expanding logically when it might next expand? What do you think is an ideal number? And hey, I'll give you a chance to take out your graph paper. How would you like to organize this new league?
How about organizing it by time zones? Because the fewer games that are outside of the Eastern time zone, the happier we are. So if you had 48 teams, for example, 12, 12, 12, 12 distributed throughout the country, that doesn't sound too bad to me. That's a lot of teams. You need a lot of arms, but that would be a good number to me.
It does seem to me in Europe, they have like lots of teams and lots of leagues for soccer. Not that I'm ever looking to get baseball to be more like soccer, more like any other sport, but something to think about. Geographically, could you live with the idea the Mets and the Yankees in the same division? We're up to this point in our lives, the Mets and Yankees are in different orbits that occasionally clash. How do you feel about all of that?
The idea of seeing the Yankees any more than I have to bothers me. I don't even like seeing a tourist in a Yankees cap thinking that it's a New York cap, not knowing the meaning of the cap. But I can see MLB reorganizing and putting the Mets and the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Phillies in one group, a division of four. So they would have four powerhouses playing each other, and it would be great for revenue to have the Mets and the Yankees, and they could put it on ESPN all the time. They could have a Mets and Yankees exclusive channel, ESPN New York, the TV channel, ESPN 9, Ocho Plus One. I would prefer seeing the National League and the American League stay in the traditional structure. I wonder how long that will last. Do you think that's going to last?
You know, we've gone, what was it, 1901, the American League was founded. The National League been around since 1876. Those leagues continue. you didn't really feel the pressure other than now and then there'd be an article in Baseball Digest when I was a kid. You'd say, you know what could happen someday? Interleague play, or they could reorganize. And it never seemed real until interleague play, and concepts were floated every now and then. I guess it was under Bud Selig's watch. You'd re-talk about, well, wouldn't it make more sense to geographically align? And of course, people like us, certainly people like me, shudder at the idea because we love the National League and we love the idea of the leagues as something different. I think they have been playing us, or they've been playing their games in such a way to make us forget that ever happened other than as brand names. And I could see a day where they keep the names because they have some cachet and they will lose even more meaning. So if you do go to, say, 32 teams, which is the number Manfred's put out there, and I think, you know, whatever blue skying we would do of the expansion process, you're probably going to start with two more teams, just so you have 32, 16 in each circuit, shall we say, two four-team divisions here, two four-team divisions there, do that a few more times, you have 32. It seems less and less likely, given that little nugget I quoted earlier about the excitement. Hey, look, everybody, everybody's going to play everybody. Seems less and less likely that we are committed to the National League as we've known it for almost 150 years. And for that matter, the American League, as it's been known for about 125 years soon. Notice I said National League as we've known, American League as it's known. I don't want to take any kind of ownership of the American League, but I imagine that despite being a loyal customer of MLB, I am not their target audience and haven't been probably for a while. They would be happy if I keep showing up and keep paying to watch, but they know that the future is a younger viewer, younger customer, not tied to that sort of thing. So if it makes more sense to them to say, let's have super division, as you alluded, the Red Sox, Phillies, Mets, Yankees division, or whatever, we'll put everybody in clown suits and red noses and have them play if that's popular. They probably would. I still want to see more baseball teams, though. I'm tired of the same 30. It feels like we're overdue. I mentioned the population before, the interest in baseball. It feels like that there are markets out there that can handle this. But let me ask you, from the experience we've had as baseball fans, fans of an expansion team, neither one of us maybe was on the beat in 1962 or the months leading up to the formation of the Mets. But we know from expansion, we know expansion teams. For us, some of these teams have been permanent. The Mets, Astros, the Angels, and the original or the second version. There's so many in Washington. I don't see how you have a problem with Washington. They love their baseball team so much, they keep changing them. The original Washington Senators. Later on, 1969, the Expos, the Padres, the Pilots, who became the Brewers a year later, and the Royals. The Blue Jays and Mariners, 1977, that was the American League expansion. 1993, the Rockies and the Marlins, the National League expansion. And then one team each in the 1998 expansion, the Arizona Diamondbacks. In the National League, the then Tampa Bay Devil Rays in the American League. I'm curious, you know, having lived through each of these, how long did it take you to kind of consider them just normal teams? And for how long were you kind of thinking, this is so weird that there's a team called the Devil Rays, there's a team called the Blue Jays. Where did this come from? Just curious how it hit you over the years.
When we were younger, we didn't have the media reminding us that there's a new team. So the first time you saw a Padres uniform, possibly, was on a baseball card. And it was that fake graphic, the poor Photoshop, they didn't call it Photoshop back then, of the late Nate Colbert, possibly. And it took longer to get used to. You didn't have it talked about all the time. Now, if there became a Nashville Stars, you would hear it talked about all the time on MLB. So I think the learning curve would be less because of the media.
I have a vivid memory in the summer of 1992, I'm going to say. It shows how vivid it is. I can't remember what year. No, I'm pretty sure it was the summer of 92. Seeing a guy wearing a Florida Marlins cap. This is a year before the Florida Marlins came into existence. And of course, it jumped off his head, so to speak, because it was teal. And they brought teal into baseball for the first time. And it was kind of mesmerizing. You mentioned the baseball cards. I'll never forget the sensation of opening packs. Probably the last year I was super into collecting, the year I was 14. So this is the spring of 77. And one Toronto Blue Jay and one Seattle Mariner after another comes flying out with, like you indicated, airbrushed caps, bizarre looking upside down pitchforks.
A trident.
The bizarre looking birds. There are people who seem to spend a good portion of their lives trying to create new versions of those cards to make them look normal. There's a guy who does a great job. Here's what a 1977 Dave Lemanchik should have looked like, because they all look crazy when you're 14 years old. I got to say, these teams have been around now, you know, the equivalent of forever. If 1998 was the Diamondbacks' first year and it's 25 years later, in a Mets scale, that's 1987, if you follow what I'm saying. By 1987, I don't know if people who had been around since the 40s and 50s were looking at the Mets as an expansion team still. I think there's still a little piece of me that looks at some of these teams as thinking they're the new teams, which is maybe just speaks more to having your vision set at a young age. Because once in a great while, I hear Toronto Blue Jays and I think those crazy cards that I got in 1977, not two-time world champions and big established market in Canada. The Blue Jays, they're kind of new, aren't they? Well, they've been around like 45 years. So new blood, it's not a bad thing. It was exciting to see people walking around in Marlins and Rockies caps in New York City in 1992, 93. It was interesting to suddenly have a team in Tampa Bay, to have a team in Phoenix. It's good for those people, you would think, if there was the demand for baseball, which was obviously judged, and at times there's been a lot. So let's do one brass tack here. We're expanding. Let's say there's two teams coming to Major League Baseball in a couple of years. Where do you want to put them?
Well, first of all, Manfred said he's not doing anything until he resolves what's going on in Tampa and in Oakland. Tampa right. continues to be a mess. And as far as Oakland's going, Manfred's trying to see how much he can extract from Oakland and Las Vegas, and then he'll make a decision. I tend to think that the Oakland A's will move to Las Vegas, where the A's may stand for A as in Aces High, not athletics. In fact, Las Vegas is having a big league weekend this spring training, where some of the Arizona teams will be playing in Las Vegas, hopefully to showcase in their minds the power of the city. Remember that, those nightmare years when the Mets AAA team was in Las Vegas? And we had because Jeffy Wilpon messed up the AAA franchise issue?
Yeah, it was just a mere five-hour flight to New York. You hoped that the Mets were on the West Coast when they suddenly needed a pitcher, because that was the only way they were getting one.
That's exactly right. So after that settled, where ideally should MLB expand? My ideal and your ideal is going to be different than Major League Baseball's. I think our ideals, if I can speak for you, would be a place on the Eastern time zone and a place with short flights, which is better for our team. So those two criteria, that would be the ideal as far as I'm concerned. Eastern time zone, short flights. That's not going to be Major League Baseball's ideals, because baseball wants to expand the footprint of the game. And as far as where it goes, Bob Nightingale said on Monday that the Nashville Stars have hired Don Mattingly to their advisory staff, and he calls the Nashville Stars the favorite to become an expansion team. But whether it's Nashville or Charlotte or Raleigh, I don't care. It doesn't really matter. It's a rival for the Braves. It's just a short flight for us. From there, Montreal is a possibility, and I think you feel a fondness for Montreal.
I felt Montreal got a bit of a raw deal through the years. And it was, you know, Montreal was sort of the Toronto of its day in terms of being a thriving big market in baseball. Go back and check attendance figures, which aren't everything. But there was a time where it was the Dodgers and then it was the Expos leading the National League in attendance. And you wouldn't have dreamed that Montreal would see its team go away. They've been working for years, much like the organizations you mentioned in Las Vegas and Nashville, to get a team back in Montreal. And not just sentimentally, if they can put a ballpark together, they got the ownership together, I would think they have a shot at getting to at least near the front of the line. It's a market you abandoned. It just doesn't sit right to leave it be. It also doesn't sit right to say that this is a growing international sport and then tell a French-speaking city that loves baseball not far from the United States to go pound sand, as they say.
There are other areas that baseball could go, including Vancouver, Portland. We don't really want them to go there for that time zone reason, but Vancouver would be a competitor to Montreal.
Yeah, you may remember when we had our friend Kevin Chapman on to talk about the Mike Stoneman thrillers a few months ago and the Mets' involvement therein. He's from Washington State originally and talked about getting Montreal Expos games. They were kind of the team because that's what Canada saw, and the Blue Jays sort of ate into that. So Vancouver, some combination of Vancouver or Portland, Oregon, to make going to the Pacific Northwest for teams to go to play the Mariners makes, I think, a good degree of sense. Like you said, a team in the Southeast, whether it is in the Carolinas, and that would probably be Charlotte, maybe Raleigh, I don't know it well enough. Nashville, like you said, has a foot ahead. You know what that might do? It might send the Braves to a whole other division. And although you never know from one era to the next who's going to be good, I've seen enough of the Braves in my division for a lifetime. So if you can create some sort of reality where I don't have to worry about the Braves more than tangentially, swell. One place that gets mentioned now and again, Mexico City or Monterrey, for that matter. Baseball in Mexico, I mean, they love baseball. The question is that economically feasible? Is it logistically feasible? Do you talk about making this eventually, you know, not in 2 years, but maybe down the road, a truly, truly global endeavor? And suddenly we're talking about the Pacific Rim and Asia. Maybe we're talking about Europe. This is the blue sky, I think. If we're just talking about two cities, any of the cities you mentioned would be good. I think Montreal has a claim on it and probably should be in the upper tier, assuming they can get there. But this is the fun part, talking about it. Everybody wanting to make their case, and the fact that there are entities looking to make their case tells me that for all the morbid coverage of baseball sometimes, that it is a vibrant sport that has a lot of money in it. Not only a lot of money for the owners, but a lot of money being paid out by consumers who want to watch this stuff. Even in a place like, and we'll get to them in a minute, but even in a place like Tampa Bay, where the attendance has been dreadful, they get good TV ratings. People don't want to go over certain causeways in the middle of the week, but they'll always tell you, you know what, we have some of the best ratings in the league. And that is often what baseball is about now. So I don't know that we've narrowed it down other than we don't want to be inconvenienced, and that is fair for us. So why don't we segue a little bit from expansion to the other part of this equation, which has only come up, you know, like I said, once in the last 50 years, relocation. And we've touched on them. Oakland and Tampa Bay, teams framed as having intractable ballpark issues, can't possibly keep playing where they are, but they do. You never know who the next owner is who clears his throat and says, you know what I need? A new ballpark. And you know what I'm going to do? If I don't get one, I'm going to have to think about moving. Didn't I see the Angelos family kind of saying something about, well, you know, Camden Yards may not be what we need? And like, I nearly fainted because Camden Yards was at the forefront of all this. Can you imagine the Orioles leaving Baltimore? Well, if we were around, I don't know, 70 years ago, I would have said to you, can you imagine the Dodgers leaving Brooklyn? So I guess anything is possible. Well, let's just put it out there. What do you think is going to happen? You mentioned Oakland and Las Vegas as possible switching partners, shall we say. And by the way, baseball loves gambling, so why not Las Vegas? What do you think is going to happen with the Rays? You mentioned the A's.
At one time, by the way, the thought of having a major sport in Las Vegas was verboten. And now they'll have them all eventually. The NBA has their summer league there. They got the Las Vegas Raiders. We're talking about the Las Vegas A's. And of course, we have the Golden Knights. So that's a change that's happened in our lifetime. We haven't heard much about ballpark issues of late. I'm sure that will come up. Owners can invent that as an excuse to extract unnecessary repair money from the taxpayers. And it did come up in Baltimore, where the new mayor worked out an agreement with the Angelos family to build up Camden Yards, which is still a jewel. And I look forward to going there when the Mets are there.
When we talk about relocation, when it's floated out there, and again, you know, we're watching some of these franchises from a long distance. We're not invested in them in a way, it's no skin off our nose. When you don't see the Rays drawing, when you don't see the A's drawing, and other teams that kind of ebb and flow, but mostly ebb, does it strike you as heartbreaking to think that a city might lose its team for, quote, business reasons? Or do you want to take the side of stringent capitalism? It's good business. There aren't enough fans here. Well, let them move. Let them find some others. Just the concept of a city losing its team or a team going for greener pastures. I guess you could put that two ways. Just how does that hit you?
I don't know how any Mets fan can be agnostic about a team that leaves one city for the other, because the Mets are here because, as you said earlier, the Dodgers left Brooklyn. And we can't get out of our heads the pictures of Stay Team Stay, the banner that people held up as the wrecking ball descended upon Ebbets Field. So it does feel heartbreaking, whether there are a plethora of young children that will be heartbroken in Oakland is immaterial. It will be sad for some people, and I don't think you can divorce those feelings from the equation here.
Yeah, as you know, and as I probably have mentioned a few times on this show, I belong to a group of people who won't give up on the New York Giants, or at least wish to preserve their history. Every discussion we have over Zoom as a group always comes down to, did Horace Stoner ever try to find a new ballpark? Did he ever try to find a new location? Was there ever any talk about renovating the Polo Grounds? Doesn't matter what we're talking about. It always comes back to that, as if you could, as they say, run it back. If you could have a do-over and you could get the Giants back, if you could get the Dodgers back. I mean, I love, newsflash, I love the Mets. I love that I'm a Mets fan. That may not be news, but it still breaks my heart in historical sense that we, New York, lost the Giants, and that we, Brooklyn, lost the Dodgers. And I feel bad for whoever is still with us in Philadelphia who misses his or her or their Athletics, whoever's in Boston who grew up with the Braves and the Braves went away, and the people in St. Louis who hated the Cardinals, but they love the Browns. And well, you know, where have they been all these years? And, you know, that you could take that right up to, we talked about Montreal. And how did Montreal, you know, where did Montreal go? Montreal went to Washington. Washington lost two franchises in modern times. I think you have a unique perspective, perhaps, as an observer here, living in the Washington area. You're there for many years, wishing there, perhaps, that there could be some baseball as a way of watching the Mets come to town. And presto, it was there in 2005. So putting aside your disdain for the local team and maybe some of their fans, and I know a lot of them are great people, just maybe not right on top of the baseball the way we think they should be. Curious, what was it like suddenly having Major League Baseball come to town in 2005 after having none of it there since 1971? What was it like knowing they were going to be in quote, your division? And I guess, I don't know if I've ever asked you this before, but did you ever stop and think like, oh, good, I have a new team now. I don't live in New York anymore. Put yourself back in the fall of 2004, spring of 2005. What was happening?
I was happy because it meant that I could see the Mets live in Washington. I thought it was thrilling. I could take my children and see them. We went to games in RFK, which is being torn down this year. And it was thrilling. I was very happy about it. And then the locals started to buy that dopey hat. And it's still a dopey hat. It's still a terrible design. And they started to act like they knew something about baseball. And my resentment began to grow, but they were terrible. It was just an annoyance. Then they got good and it became more than an annoyance. But at first, it's a good thing because you get to see your team. And they're always going to be my team, no matter where I am. I grew up with the Mets. They're in my blood, my heart. So the fact that there was a team in Washington, I wasn't like somebody we've mentioned on this show who switched sides because he lives here now. It still bothers me that he did that.
But you know, we've established your desire for convenience to have teams on the East Coast, the Eastern time zone. It was obviously a lot more convenient and helpful for you to have a team in Washington, even if it was Montreal's loss. You've indicated I carried for many years a certain romance about the Expos. We shared Gary Carter. We shared Rusty Staub. You know, we played them in their very first game. We had a lot of memorable visits to Parc Jarry, and I'm not even going to try to say it, in French, Olympic Stadium. And we played the last game they ever played. I was there. What was your empathy like despite saying, oh boy, I get to see the Mets in Washington now. What was it like for you saying, oh, no more Montreal Expos?
I was sorry about it. I like them and I feel that their city, their fans got screwed. They got screwed in the split season and I feel bad for them. I wouldn't mind seeing another team in Canada if the Toronto does not have exclusive rights for the whole country.
I think for the first, we'll say 4 years that the Nationals existed, I refer to them, and not with any kind of animus. I like to think of them as the Exponentials. They weren't quite the Nationals yet, and they were no longer the Expos, but that was still there in the air. And it was funny because I remember in the 90s, especially, just reaching this breaking point of patience with the Expos after they had their great 1994 team fall apart and everybody looked at them and said, oh, the poor Montreal Expos. And they still gave us fits a la the modern Marlins. And here I was, you know, in mourning a little bit for them and thinking, you know what, if the Montreal Expos were still around, I probably couldn't be able to stomach them, much like the Phillies and the Braves and the Marlins and the Nationals. So that they do feel like two totally different entities now. But for a while there, I guess, especially like when Shea was still around and then the Washington Nationals were showing up at Shea Stadium, it felt novel and it was kind of fun to say, oh, look at this, a new team for me to go see. But you knew that something was missing from the National League East. But that was then. Let's look ahead maybe through a crystal ball that's completely cloudy, but let's just have a little fun with it maybe. We're going to pretend that MLB's antitrust exemption disappears and territorial rights aren't an issue, because they are. It's why there aren't suddenly baseball teams going hither and yon that easily, and why we don't have a lot of company here in the New York area. Or, you know, pretend that there's still antitrust, but hey, look, the Mets and the Yankees and the Phillies maybe have all gotten paid off. Don't have to worry about 75 miles from their base of operations. You want to pretend that the Rays or the A's or whoever from wherever decide they want to put down roots in North Jersey, the Meadowlands or somewhere near there, essentially become the third team in the New York metropolitan area. You want to pretend that MLB has gotten ambitious and decide to expand from 30 to beyond 32, 36, 48, Premier League baseball. I don't know. Maybe we have smaller stadiums, but plenty of TV money. Maybe this is realistic. Pretend that North Jersey or even our own beloved Long Island gets its own franchise. How would you react to that as a Mets fan? How would you feel about somebody else being the new kid on the block when that's been the Mets' role for 60 years?
Earlier, we talked about various places where MLB could go. Nashville, left out San Antonio, that's another one. Mexico City, Montreal, Portland, wherever. None of them are guaranteed to succeed. You can see MLB going to Portland, and then in August, you hear a news report that says there are only 22,000 people. Maybe MLB is not going to succeed in Portland. Maybe the appetite for baseball in Portland is not what we thought it was. Well, I'm going to tell you about an area where there are over 20 million people and there are millions of baseball fans, and they have a proven allegiance to Major League Baseball. And that's the New York area. I'm specifically thinking about Northern New Jersey. Greg, you mentioned Long Island. Let's talk about Northern New Jersey, which I say New Jersey and MLB are perfect together. Let's go to Somerset, New Jersey, which has a track record of supporting professional baseball. The Somerset Patriots were an independent league team and did so well that they are now the AA team of the Yankees. There are fans there. You don't know if there are fans in Nashville. You don't know if there are fans in Raleigh. There are fans in Northern New Jersey. You'd have to build up the infrastructure, but that's where MLB should go. They won't, for the reasons you said, but we're imagining that all the rights fees are taken care of for the Mets, Yankees, and perhaps Phillies. It's a successful match for Major League Baseball because you have baseball fans there. You don't know if you have baseball fans in the other places.
Again, because we are pretending a little bit, or at least easing the way for this sort of thing to happen. Okay, let's say that there is a team in North Jersey. I'm going to pretend that, for the hell of it, all due respect to my friends in the Tampa Bay area where I went to college, doesn't work out for the Rays. The Rays have decided they're going to move to Uniondale, Long Island. They somehow worked with county government, where county government could never get anything done for a certain hockey team for the longest time in that area. They're going to build a marvelous new stadium off the Meadowbrook Parkway. They're going to become the Long Island Rays, playing in the same geographically aligned division as the Mets, Steve Cohn's power-packed Mets, the feisty Long Island Rays. It's David versus Goliath, and we're Goliath. We've talked about that. And again, I realize you're several hundred miles to the south, but your heart is still here. I'm curious, are you nudged to root for the new kids in town, even as a second favorite team? Or would you be disgusted at the idea of interlopers onto our turf? And what if the Long Island Rays made a real play for the Mets fan and said, you know what, it's a couple of years from now, we're signing Pete Alonso as a free agent. We're signing Jeff McNeil as a free agent. We're grabbing Edwin Diaz as our closer. Doing a little bit what the New York Mets of 1962 were doing when they were drafting Gil Hodges and Clem Levine and Charlie Neal and Roger Craig and all of that. Conceptually, the Mets and some new kid on the block right around the corner. What does that feel like?
It feels like there's an annoyance. There's an annoying new sibling in town. But because I grew up with the Mets, that's still my team. I respectfully say to you, I didn't change my allegiance when the Islanders showed up. I just used my GO card when I was in school and bought $3 tickets and went to see the Islanders because it was closer. And I finally got my driver's license and I could go. And I didn't have to have my father drop me off at the Nassau Coliseum. But I always remained a Ranger fan, so that wouldn't change even if there were the Long Island Rays in town. I think it would be a testament to the power of the baseball community in the area, so I'd be happy to see them. Plus, again, it fits into the Eastern time zone short travel criteria.
Let's say it's just they've been around a few years. Mets don't make the playoffs. The Long Island Rays do. They're playing the Phillies or the Dodgers, whoever, in the first round. Are you suddenly, at least for the duration, for a few weeks, hey, go Long Island Rays? Or is it a matter of, I don't need this in my own backyard?
That's possible. That's possible because you want your team to be the preeminent team. You want to be your siblings, your parents' favorite. You want to be the preeminent team in town. So you don't like that.
I won't go too far down this rabbit hole, but before the Islanders came along, I liked the Rangers just fine. I didn't really care about hockey too much. I just knew they played where the Knicks did, and I loved the Knicks as a little kid. So I said, yay, Rangers. And then the Islanders came along, not too far from where I lived, and they started showing signs of life, and I got interested. And to this day, that's my one big switch in professional sports. I think I'm too old for that to happen right now with the Long Island Rays. I look over across the Hudson at the Devils and see them as sort of a New York team, sort of not. And when they do well, I don't hate it. But I've never been to a Devils home game, and I'm not running off to go to one. So again, we bring it up just as part of the thought exercise. So here's a little more thought exercise for you. Whether it's the Long Island Rays, whether it's the North Jersey juggernauts, whoever they are, this new team in the metropolitan area proved so successful, so popular. The Mets, you know, boy, Steve Cohn really blew it. Never built the Cohn Dome, never got Carlos Correa. Here, we are now in dystopia. I'm reading on the, I won't say newspapers, because this is the future. We don't have newspapers. We barely have them now. But I'm reading online, the Mets are looking to move. Did you hear about this? The Mets are looking to move. You know, they can't compete with the Long Island Rays, the North Jersey juggernauts. Northern Virginia is thinking about building a stadium and trying to get the Mets. You know what? It didn't work out in Baltimore after all. The Orioles left town. There's a beautiful stadium in downtown Baltimore. Would you follow the Mets out of New York, especially if it was convenient? But do you fall in with the new New York team? Are you through with Major League Baseball if this happens? What are you going to do?
I'm getting chills here, and I'm thinking about the metaverse that would create this. My head's spinning from that question. I would probably stay with the Mets.
Well, the Charlotte Mets, the Portland Mets, doesn't matter.
Probably, my head would explode.
Yeah, I think years ago when I started to like think about this, back when it seemed imperative, according to the then owners, that Shea Stadium needed to be replaced, and they started talking. They never really talked in those terms, but I thought, oh God, is this where this is leading? And I was trying to imagine rooting for the Mets as a team in some other market. I just couldn't do it. I'd also think I've got too much stock in Mets fandom. So I'm with you. I don't know what the hell I would do. Or if I would just say, you know what, I always did like the Pittsburgh Pirate uniforms and ballpark, but I don't see any of that. Okay, let's bring this home and let us go back to the beginning in a way. We're going to paraphrase Casey Stengel. Always a good idea. But in this case, from his testimony before Congress in 1959 regarding baseball's antitrust exemption, we are not here to argue about other sports. We are in the baseball business. Nevertheless, imagine a baseball league arises in the vein of the AFL, ABA, WHA, WFL, or USFL in their brief glory days, circuits each of us remember to some extent, an independent baseball league that has aspirations of challenging MLB for real, something we've never experienced, you know, something way bigger than the Atlantic League. They get financing and they put a team in New York. Maybe they hire some beloved former Mets to be the public face of the organization. Maybe the league has a style to it that seems a breath of fresh air, a la the other challenger leagues I've mentioned. Can you picture yourself caring or rooting about this new baseball league?
I would probably look into it. I've always had some sort of affection for interlopers, the ABA, the USFL, and I'd be curious as to their product, and I would be interested in what they had to say. I still have a document from the New Jersey Americans, where I got some autographs. I would be interested. Would you?
I think I'd have to be. I mean, it's baseball. If it was some sort of Major League Baseball type product without, maybe not with the history that we associate with the teams that we are used to watching, but it wouldn't maybe have the baggage of the stodgy old National League and American League. I guess the idea that this has never really been tried, I'm sure it's been on drawing boards. The last time I remember hearing anything like this was during the 1994-95 strike. Maybe United States Baseball League was thrown around, or United Baseball League was thrown around as a name. I seem to remember Al Harrison's name being put out there as kind of the face of the organization. And as soon as the players and owners solved their differences and signed a contract, you never heard about it again. But if baseball is as healthy and vibrant as we talk about, at least to us, and there is enough money in it, and they still can't get off their collective duff and expand, well, maybe there is like a real independent league of, say, 16 teams, and maybe the stadiums are somewhere between Citi Field size and whatever the name of the Ducks ballpark is this year. Maybe that works in some way, and it seems affordable, and people are drawn to it, and you get some players. I mean, again, we're just blue sky again. Maybe a little less dystopian. Yeah, I mean, again, I have scant memories, vague memories of the AFL existing. I was a little too young to be in on that, but I'm a Nets fan because of the ABA, and I remember all those other leagues coming along. I went, my first professional football game was a Tampa Bay Bandits exhibition game in the United States Football League, for God's sake. So those things get your attention. We're talking about people who this would be targeted toward. Would be people probably not so set in their ways as we are, to put it kindly. I think it would be interesting to think again of the Mets, you know, who've been around 60 plus years, but still have that sense of, well, they're the new team. They wouldn't even be the new league anymore if that was the case. And I guess you, assuming that, again, a population of 8 billion and growing in this world should be able to get you enough pitching to get through a couple of homestands in this league, that league, any league you want to imagine.
Before I forget, there are some fans in Washington that did not change sides until they had children. My children grew up right. They saw that I was a Mets fan and they became Mets fans. They have retained loyalty to the Mets, even though they were born in Washington. Not everybody in Washington is like that. And I know some people who said, well, I like baseball, but I took my kids to the games. It got us out of the house. And they bought all the Washington things. It was an easy thing for me to buy them for Christmas, for Hanukkah. And so I started rooting for them too. It makes them happy, so I'm happy. So that's another classification of fans. So not every fan in Washington switched sides.
Yeah, and that is one of the things that gets pointed to as to why baseball hasn't really taken off at the major league level in Florida, because you have so many transplants. And I guess Washington is a place like that too. But especially Florida, they've talked about, well, you know, when you get the next generation going. Well, the next generation has grown up, the ones who were, you know, not even born, but are adults now in the 90s. So you never know how that's going to go. I think one thing that bears mentioning here is the existence of something that didn't exist when we were watching expansion come along, even as late as 1998. MLB.tv. You don't really have to be in the market to be a fan. Your kids, they can follow the Mets as to their heart's content and barely miss a beat. Maybe you'll get stuck with some Masson coverage a few nights out of the season. Let them figure out the blackouts one of these years over on Park Avenue. Yeah, geography is something I think you and I, because we grew up in an era where it was all about National League baseball in New York, and that was a thing. Not everybody is tied to geography as a determinant of rooting. God knows we're about to enter the NFL playoffs, and you don't have to be from Minnesota to be a Vikings fan. You don't have to be from Dallas to be a Cowboys fan. It's very easy to forge those alliances, and maybe that's where we're headed. So I think it's a world of possibilities out there. And I think the only thing I'm against, other than, you know, the Mets losing and the Yankees winning, of course, the only thing I'm against is stagnation. So I'd love to see a little expansion. I hope nobody loses their team, but I'd be curious to see what lies ahead. But you know what? That's every baseball season. I wish specific fandom on people who want it. I wish full ballparks and somehow not too much traffic on the way home, wherever they don't feel they have enough fans.
I agree with you. Expansion's inevitable, even though it's going to mean more minor leaguers, players from Japan, players from the KBO. There'll be the players that we think are 4A players who will be everyday players. But that's okay. And maybe some of them will succeed.
Yeah, they're bound to succeed. I mean, you mentioned Nate Colbert, the San Diego Padres. Nate Colbert had not blossomed, as I believe he was a Houston Astro. Every one of these expansion teams usually brings somebody to the fore. And before you know it, there is a thriving system. And it is more jobs and hopefully fairer wages and all of that stuff, not to get up on the soapbox about how minor leaguers are treated. And maybe because you would have more teams, they would decide, you know what, maybe we need to cordon off the leagues like we used to, just for convenience sake. Because, you know, how are you going to get, say, if we are blue skying and saying 36 teams, how are you going to get everybody within a framework of 162 games if you're going to have every team playing everybody? Or for that matter, will it still be 162 games? And again, you know, we're all suddenly taking out our graph paper and taking out our protractors and trying to put something together. But again, I think that's part of the fun. I look forward to the Portland Timber people not only getting a team, but if I somehow come across packs of baseball cards that spring, I look forward to opening them up and staring at the logo. I'd like to think it will be airbrushed on clumsily. And I can say, hey, I can see the Kansas City Royal logo underneath that guy's hat. It's new blood. It's a rush to the system. If it doesn't work out in the end, well, I guess somebody will be willing to build somebody a ballpark somewhere and lure them away. There's all the streaming channels out there. There's we're dying to be entertained. We're dying to bet on sports, apparently. I was going to say, it's exciting times. Well, in my mind, it could be exciting times. And that I think is the fun of talking about this.
And we hope that you thought this was fun. We'll be back with more National League Town soon. Until then, I'm Jeff Heisen.
I'm Greg Prince.
And as always, let's go Mets. Copyright 2023, music provided by the Royal Arctic Institute. Check them out on Bandcamp.